All right, we'll start off with prayer because we're a little nervous. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for helping us throughout these years. Just please bless our thoughts tonight and just please help us to get across what you want us to say and help us to say only what you want us to say. Amen. So I wanted to start off with some of my favorite memories from the youth group. I don't remember what year it was that I came into the youth group, but I was into my teens anyway. So I really enjoy singing with the youth choir and singing in nursing home visitation and going to visit senior saints who are shut in. And some of my favorite messages were choosing the right companion series and the stewardship lessons and all the senior youth Bible studies. I really encourage you to go once you're of age. They're a real help, especially like the Revelation and stuff like that. It's very helpful to know those things. And I enjoyed the progressive dinner and Sister Sherry's scavenger hunt game. That was fun. And the Bible verse reenactment game, that was super fun too. I think our team won that time, didn't we? And Friday night camp meeting bonfires and the Coastside trip. So those were a couple of my favorite memories. Of course, I have a bad memory, so I can't remember everything. But I also wanted to get into some things that I'm grateful for. I've learned a lot about God and his word and young people's. Whenever I was unsaved, I was making a huge mess of my life, even though I was really young. I was still starting off on the wrong path, and you're very blessed that you're being raised in the church. So I very much encourage you to stay here, because there's nothing out in the world that it has to offer you. So I was really thankful once I was able to start coming more to young people's into church, to gain more knowledge about God and how to live for him, and get encouragement to live for him, because you don't get that encouragement out in the world. I truly have learned so much, and I'm so thankful that God saw fit to place me in the Church of God and place me in the youth group as well. I'm very thankful for godly friends he's allowed me to make. I'm even working with some at the moment at John Hinder Honda. And I'm thankful for the dedicated youth leaders who truly care about our souls and put in a great effort to show their love and how much they care for all the young people. I also don't think it was a coincidence that they met when they were 14 too. It's very much an encouragement that to see the love that they have for each other and the love that they have for us, and they're a wonderful example to all of us. So a huge part of my testimony is the companion that God gave me. And he truly led me to the church through Cody. Sorry. One of my favorite scriptures is in Jeremiah 29:11. I'm sure you know it. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Looking back at my life so far, I know that God has led me to Cody and also to the church. A thought that came to me while I was thinking and praying about this message was that God talks to us in a way that we can understand. He'll make it very clear to you who he has for you. He doesn't want you to be confused about stuff like that. Looking back at my life, God led me, and it would take forever to tell you the story, but it's been a huge blessing to be able to look back and see how God has led me to him and to the church. And through that, it's given me a greater trust in him, to know that he will lead me throughout my entire life and to stay true to him. God's plan is perfect, and when we look back over the times where he has worked miracles in our life, it gives us confidence to keep walking and to trust him more. God made the earth when it was without form and void. He created humans, animals, and also inspired the words in the Bible. He is the greatest author, and he wants to write your story too. When you allow God to have his way in your life, you'll one day be able to look back and marvel at what an amazing author he is. If we take our hands off our life, we allow God to have his perfect way, we'll be amazed at how he leads us, and he'll lead us to exactly where we belong. We won't have to be confused. In Jeremiah 10:23, it says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in the man that walketh to direct his steps. And also in Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God is a personal God, and he has a race set before each of us. God knows the desire we have to have the right companion the right job and nice things, but we can't accomplish those things on our own. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we have a God who does. And when we allow him to direct our steps, it's amazing how he'll guide us. And we trust him with all of our hearts and bring the desires of our hearts continually before him. He'll guide us in all things. And in Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us. This not only is a promise to us, but a promise to whosoever will believe and who will be saved and live a godly life. God has done exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think in my life, and he has truly exceeded every thought I had in my head of what I wanted my life to look like. There have been trials and mountains that we've had to climb, but God's still good, even in the hard times. God has given me the best companion for me, and I'm so incredibly thankful for Cody and all that God has done for us." And in the last scripture I have, it says in Psalm 32:7-8, it says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." When we seek God with all of our hearts, that is when he will be found. God is willing to guide us gently and is extremely patient with us. He doesn't force us to do anything, and will not force us to follow his will for our lives. But in saying that, there are great blessings in following his will for our lives. In trusting him, he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows what's best for us. And when we get a little ways down life's road and we're able to look back, we're able to see what an amazing blessing it is that God's led our lives, and it will turn out to be better than we could ever dream. So that's all I have.
It's been so long since I heard one of these. I didn't really know what to say. But I also wanted to start out with some of my favorite memories in the youth group. So the first thing that came to my mind was the Kosai trip, getting lost on the way there and everyone making fun of me. The youth revivals with Brother Reggie, who seems to always be the speaker. The Friday night bonfires during camp meeting. The trip to Tennessee we had. I think one of my favorite parts of the trip was the drive. It's always interesting. And then the last thing for my memories is performing in the barn for Sister Karen's plays. That's always a very fun thing to do. So I also wanted to throw in some memorable messages. I didn't want to say like my favorite messages because they're all good, but there are certain messages I feel like we all have that just stick in your mind forever. And the first one that came to my mind was Sister Sherry's Lost in the House. If you've never heard that message, I'm sure it's recorded and you should listen to it. And then one from very early on when I was in youth group was Brother Nick. He preached on Sometimes It Takes a Mountain, and I believe that was right before they sang that song for the first time, or one of the first times. More recently, Brother Stegmeyer's personal testimony, and also Brother Border's personal testimony. Both of those guys had pretty crazy lives, and it's very interesting to hear their testimony. I also said the Stewardship series, also the Pilgrim's Progress series, and then this was not in the youth group, but it was in Brother and Sister Sirlecki's Sunday school class, but I really like the study on evolution. I think maybe they should do that here coming up. So starting off with my thoughts, I'm going to go ahead and steal Alexa's favorite verse, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And if you first read that and you think, like, give you an expected end, it kind of sounds morbid. But if you look into what that means, it means to give you a future and a hope. So it has nothing to do with death, which is good. And then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. So I want to start off by saying that God works in ways that you're not going to understand. But if you trust him, he will bless you. And I first met Alexa when we were in 8th grade. Is anyone here in 8th grade? Alright, there's a few back there. That's when we met, at your age. And I had no idea at the time the blessing that God was going to give me through her. She came from a family with no religious background and a very limited knowledge of the truth or anything biblical. But that doesn't matter, because she had a heart that was searching for something, and she was a willing vessel. And that's more important than having all the head knowledge in the world. And then one thing that was pretty eye-opening to me was, very soon after we started to like each other, she started wearing skirts to school. She was not saved yet. She had never been to a single church service, but she saw my mom and my family and how we were different from other people. And she decided she wasn't comfortable wearing pants anymore, so she wore skirts, even though she probably didn't understand at the time why we even did that. I'm sure her family questioned her a lot when she first started dressing modestly, and she didn't have a lot of answers at the time, but she just knew what God's voice sounded like and listened to him. When I look back and see the way that God brought Alexa to the truth, it was probably one of the biggest miracles I've ever witnessed. And through that, my first point of my lesson is, what God has done for me, he can do for any of you. I'm nothing special, and God has worked a big miracle in my life, and I know any of you in here are just as worthy of the same types of miracles that he's given to me. So my next scripture is going to be 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So since Alexa and I have been together for such a long time, that means we've also already been through multiple trials. Most recently, 2021, when her father and grandfather both passed away in the same month while we were trying to plan a wedding and buy a house. It would have been super easy to question God through it. Wonder why. Why does this have to happen? Why does it have to happen right now? It just doesn't seem like the right time, which it never is. But through this trial, I saw Alexa trusting God and what he's doing. Even though she didn't understand why it was happening, she didn't question him. And when you have someone in your life like that, it's worth keeping them around. Don't be surprised when hard times come. Most of you are pretty young, but they're going to come. They're God's way of making you a stronger Christian soldier. And my second point in my lesson, your faith would never have a reason to increase without a trial. If you never went to the gym, your muscles are never going to grow. If you never go through a trial, you're never going to have your faith increase. So moving on, 2 Chronicles 20. This is one of my favorite Bible stories, King Jehoshaphat. I think I gave a lesson about him when I was very young in their youth group. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee, and from beyond the sea, on this side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and he sat himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So Jehoshaphat is facing this enormous army, and he doesn't know what to do. And it says he's scared, and he seeks the Lord and proclaims a fast. So there will be undoubtedly be situations in your life when you're stuck in a bad situation and none of the ways out of it look like good ones. That's where Jehoshaphat was in this story. And recently, when we were looking for a place to move into, once we were married, we quickly discovered there are no apartments with vacancies, and getting a house right now is pretty much impossible. So we thought our answer had come when someone we knew told us that they would sell us their house whenever they found a new one. So we had that in our minds, and we went forward planning the wedding and everything. But the months passed, and it quickly became apparent that they were not going to find a house before we needed their house. So we were back to square one looking for a place to live, and now we had months less time than we did before. So we contacted our realtor, and we told him we want to start looking at houses, and we gave him two that we wanted to view. We're going to view them on a Monday. So that Sunday, we decided to proclaim a fast, just like Jehoshaphat did, for looking for the houses. So we fasted all day Monday. We looked at two houses Monday night. We put an offer on one of them, and the next day it was ours. So my third point, when you're stuck in a tough situation and you need answers, do something that will make God see that you're serious about wanting answers. That was the only, first and only house we put an offer on, and we got it the day after we put the offer. So if you want something or you need an answer, consider fasting, because it works pretty well. And then, along with that, I wanted to talk about if you're graduating or have graduated recently and you're thinking of going to college. That's something that's worth fasting about. I always got really good grades in school, so I just thought it was automatic I should go to college, you know? It just made sense. Looking back, I probably should have prayed a lot more, because I now realize after 4 years of being in this torture, I'm not gonna pull punches. College is very difficult, and the biggest thing about it is a huge time consumer. You're gonna have homework 24/7, and you're never gonna feel like you have time to do anything, especially read and pray, or come to service, or come to youth, or any of those things. So if you are thinking of going to college, I encourage you to pray about it. All right, moving on to my fourth, final point. Matthew 25 and 20. And so, he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He that also had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. The Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I had not strawed. So here we have the story of the talents. We all know this parable. And I think we always think of it in the terms of using what God has given you for the Lord. When I was meditating on this, and I thought about every one of us that's been raised since we were born in the Church of God are like the guy that's been given 5 talents. We have an unfair advantage over everybody else, and we need to take advantage of that unfair advantage. When I was 13, 14, 15, we had a lot of speakers and young people, especially during camp meeting, that would come in and tell us about when they were in the youth group and how most of the friends they made in the youth group are now gone from the church. And I think that plaque on the wall of the 1998 youth is a good example. I would say the success rate on that plaque is around 50%, if not worse. So when they would tell us this over and over and over, I would look around at the people I hung out with, the people my age, and I would think, this is never going to happen to me and my friends. Like, we're all going to stay in the church. But sadly, now that I'm 22, I look back, and the success rate of the people I hung out with is about the same as the success rate on that plaque. So I want to encourage you, in light of this, to stay in the church. Because when I compare my life to some of the same ones that were my age and wasted the blessing of being raised in the church, I can see how God's hand has been with me and blessed me while they have gone deeper into sin. So I encourage you, if you've been raised in the church, stay in the church. So in conclusion, going over my 4 or 5, I don't know how many points. Number one, God has a plan for my life. I think that's my favorite song the little kids sing. It's got a great message behind it. Even though they might not know what they're singing, we know the message. This plan that God has for your life is most likely to include some things that you're going to think of as impossible situations, but God is going to think of them as growing pains. And when you find yourself in one of these situations, make sure that you're doing everything possible to make God know that you're serious. The more you make yourself known to Him, the more likely He is to answer your prayer. And then my final point, don't waste your talents. If you're here in the youth group tonight, you should stay. It's a pretty cool place. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was super encouraging. I hope you were as encouraged as I am. How many in here want to be successful? You want to have a successful life. You want to have the right job. You want to have the right companion. And we see a lot of people, like Brother Cody said, come through the youth group. But I love it when we see success stories. But I think there's some keys. He gave you some keys. There's some keys to success. Of course, one of them is get a hold of God young and keep a hold of Him. But I think a way to find the right companion and to have success with God is to get in as much of God things as you can. The Word of God, youth group, church services. Brother Steve and I have made an observation that it seems like the young people that have the best marriages, that have the best job, and I'm not talking about maybe necessarily making a lot of money, but you can tell they're getting the right one for them. It's the ones that stayed in youth group, kept coming, came to the 5:30 prayer services, like Brother Cody said, making an effort to come when you're overwhelmed with homework and responsibilities. It pays. It pays. And I know that this is easy for me to say because I got married pretty young, but when you get older, you start thinking, well, maybe I've outgrown the youth group and maybe I should be moving on, but there's so much good here for you. And I was just like so blessed to hear them talk about the lessons or the activities that have helped them, because sometimes as a youth leader, you just sow, you're not sure. And then when you have somebody that you just feel like God's really blessing them that says, you helped me and this was a big help, I appreciate that, because that like encourages me, because I get kind of overwhelmed and beat down sometimes too, you know, like, well, maybe it's just too much. I don't know how to explain what I'm feeling. But that was just like such an encouragement to me, because I had a little part in their growth, and I think, thank you Lord, I appreciate that. And just a beautiful, beautiful story. And each one of us has our own story. I love this story about Alexa wanting God, knowing nothing, being hungry, and just coming right along. That's a beautiful story. And you heard last summer we had that series, and we had a lot of stories, but none of those are yours. God's writing your story. He's got your special person. He's got your future. He's writing it. But you got to get to where you can hear it. You got to get under the hearing of the word. You got to get in the word at home. You've got to get into church services. You got to get into youth group so that you can find what your story is.